Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pro Wrestling.net Live. I am Jason Powell. I will be joined shortly by Will Pruitt. We are here Mondays after WWE pay-per-view events at 3 Central, 4 Eastern at blogtalkradio.com. You got to add the slash Pro Wrestling DOTNET to get directly to us if you are listening to this on delay. The number to call today if you would like to talk to us is 773-897-6321. Once you are in the queue, once you call in, then you have to press 1. Then you'll let us know via the queue that you would like to join in on the conversation today. Will and I will be willing to discuss, of course, WWE Fastlane, WrestleMania, TNA Impact Wrestling, all the comings and goings there. If you could, try to be polite and give a spoiler warning or something like that. We'll have to figure out some sort of a system there because I know some people are kind of waiting to watch these things play out. And also, all the surprises at the Ring of Honor Manhattan Mayhem Show that took place over the weekend at the Hammerstein Ballroom. It's been a busy stretch in pro wrestling. And obviously, with WrestleMania next up on the calendar, at least as far as WWE is concerned, it is going to be a very busy time in pro wrestling, period. It's about to get a lot busier. With that out of the way, let's bring my co-host into the show. You can check out his pause review of last night's WWE Fastlane event on the main page at ProWrestling.net right now. He is Will Pruitt. Will, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jason. It's good to be here.
It's great to have you again. And before we start taking calls, let me know what you thought. Give people, maybe people are in listen-only mode, they can't go right to the pause. Your thoughts on WWE Fastlane last night?
You know, it's weird. I went into Fastlane knowing essentially Goldberg would win the title, knowing he'd do it in a short match and all of that. But I woke up today really upset by it, like really bothered by it. And essentially, it was kind of the last straw that made me go, WWE, they aren't just not making new stars. It's not that they just can't. It's that they're lazy. It's that it is just absurdly lazy to continue to put part-timers in the main event of WrestleMania, to continue to say no one's getting over to the level to be with them. And the Goldberg thing is just kind of the icing on the laziness cupcake that is WWE storytelling over the last decade plus. And that's kind of where I'm at right now with them and going into WrestleMania. I thought it was a bad show, like a legitimately very bad show with a result that is confounding.
Jake Barnett and I talked for 70 minutes last night. We're members after the show. I think he settled in D+, said if he was being really generous, he'd give it a C-. I settled in at a D. I was not impressed by Fastlane. I wanted to be. I was looking forward to the show. I think we all knew where Goldberg, Kevin Owens was headed. And it's a very valid criticism. It's one that, man, we've been talking about for years. In fact, I was on Wade Keller's livecast recently, pwtorchlivecast.com, and we had the conversation about just what you're bringing up, the fact that they're so reluctant to create new stars, and I had to laugh because it's like, I think we've had this conversation every year the live cast has been on the air, and even going back further, somehow, Will, some way, they manage to keep finding these attractions. I mean, we've kind of run through the list, and Goldberg was one of the few left. They're eventually going to run out. Undertaker is going to retire. Would you say, like, Kurt Angle and the Hardys are pretty much the last guys that they could possibly bring in and do this whole bit where it's all about the special attractions and not so much about the actual main roster day-to-day stars?
Yeah, it's Kurt Angle, it's the Hardys, it's if they can get The Rock to do another match, which I strongly doubt. It's guys like that, and you see a sharp kind of decrease in the quality of those wrestlers, not that Kurt Angle isn't a great wrestler, but kind of you're not getting the top-tier stars at that point, and you're not going to get top-tier stars after that. They don't have the guys from, you know, about 2003 through now that they've made that could be those big returning WrestleMania main eventers. And a lot of that also had to do with guys not really leaving during that time. Yeah, Kurt Angle went to TNA. That's one of the reasons him coming back is a big deal, but how many wrestlers actually left WWE in that time? Most guys saw their entire careers, come and go in WWE, and you're not going to get anyone. I mean, who were the top-level guys from 2006 or 2007 or 2008 that could make a comeback? Edge? retired. He's injured. Rob Van Dam, we've all been there and done that. John Cena is around, yes, but there aren't those wrestlers from that time, and part of that is so many of them were Triple H and Undertaker, who were those top-level guys in 1998 when WWE feels it was good.
And I think the frustrating part about this is it's not like, boy, they're just, you know, they're the coverage bare. They don't have a lot of talent to work with. You have Kevin Owens, you have Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, say what you will about Roman Reigns, and obviously they're making him a star. Braun Strowman, there's a long list, and that's just on the Raw side. I didn't even, like, dipped into the SmackDown side. There are plenty of main roster stars who should be taking center stage. And for whatever reason, Vince looks at WrestleMania as the day that the stars come home. And I think what you're asking for, Will, is essentially, and correct me if I'm wrong, go ahead and bring the stars back, but would it kill you to make today's stars the center attraction, the main attraction of the show?
Yeah, if you look at WrestleMania main events over the last decade plus, you have to go back to WrestleMania 27 in 2011, I believe, to get a WrestleMania main event where one of the wrestling participants wasn't a part-timer. That was John Cena versus The Miz. Everyone
wow.
knows that match was more about The Rock and what he would do before and after that match. So let's go back even further. You have to go all the way back to WrestleMania maybe 25 if you consider Triple H not a part-timer in 2009. And if you do, you have to go all the way back to 2006, John Cena against Triple H at WrestleMania 22. I'm sorry, that's 11 years that you have to reach back to grab a WrestleMania main event without one part-timer. Why? What is the point of that? What new stars are you making in that? You aren't. You aren't dedicated to it. You aren't committed to it. And WWE isn't willing to do the work to make Kevin Owens credible enough to main event a WrestleMania, to make an AJ Styles after the year he had credible enough. They aren't willing to actually put in that level of work. And it's absurd because it's self-defeating. They're literally saying, we want money now, we don't care what happens in 2 years, instead of establishing a whole money-making system and generation that can propel them forward with good stories and actual good storytelling. And I don't know, maybe a big star fans want to see on house shows on occasion.
Hey, you told people on Twitter you were in a ranting mood, and you're not kidding. Where can people follow you on Twitter
yeah.
who are not already?
You can follow me at Will with one L Pruitt. At Will Pruitt.
And, of course, you can follow the brand at Pro Wrestling Net. The number to join us today, 773-897-6321. I am Jason Powell. He is Will Pruitt. This is ProWrestling.net Live. We are here Mondays after WWE pay-per-view events. We don't have the WrestleMania schedule laid out because, well, I like to procrastinate. But I can assure you, we will be on more than just the Monday after WrestleMania with live shows. If you've been following us closely, we tend to do several shows leading into and coming out of WrestleMania. So just check ProWrestling.net for details on that. Again, if you have called in and you're going, hey, why aren't you talking to us? Well, we haven't taken any calls yet. But also, because you have to hit one on your phone. Let's change that. Let's take our first call. Let's go to 317. Who is this? Where are you calling from?
Hi, yes. How are you guys doing? I'm calling. Actually, I'm in a hotel room outside Chicago waiting for Raw tonight. How are you guys doing?
Oh, very cool. What's your name?
My name's Aaron. I actually emailed you last night from the building about the Bailey reaction during her promo, so thank you for responding to that during the show.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, you caught me at a good time because during football season I have everything shut down usually, but I took a chance that I wouldn't have anything spoiled on Walking Dead, and I made it through the show, I'm proud to say. But what's on your mind today?
I've got a couple things. I kind of saw something interesting this morning that the WWE apparently was worried that Goldberg could possibly get booed in Chicago tonight. They were worried about the crowd reaction after last night. And I was just curious, because Chicago is obviously notorious for letting Vince and the WWE know what they think of the product. And after such a mediocre show last night, which, you know, you guys were able to watch it at home, I was stuck in the building. I couldn't go anywhere. I was in my seat. So it was just as bad live as was on the network, so I assure you of that. But I'm just curious what your thoughts are about maybe what kind of reception Goldberg could receive tonight.
Will, is it a valid concern if WWE is truly concerned that Chicago could turn on good old Bill Goldberg, your WWE Universal Champion?
I think it's a valid concern, but it's not really one that I share. Chicago also, I think, kind of likes the – I think hardcore wrestling crowds like that like the nostalgia acts a little bit. There are a lot of those fans who – would normally boo, say, the establishment champion, someone like Triple H or Roman Reigns. They would normally boo them, but Goldberg was WCW champion when they were kids, and that they're going to cheer him because they're not going to see him again. This is the first and only time they're going to get to see him, and I think that's going to take precedence. But I also can't say that I'd be too shocked if Goldberg did get booed, at least a little bit, but I think they will limit his exposure, maybe have him just run in, spear, jackhammer, do something like that, and not let him hang out in the ring for, say, 20 minutes where people could get tired of him.
And if they're going to give him mic time, I think the key is simply to tell him up front, here's what could happen, here's what you do if it does. Don't lose your composure, acknowledge the boos in a way. I think there's a way to almost disarm the crowd by having Goldberg kind of chuckle over it and acknowledge that he knew Chicago might be like this. And because you don't want meathead Bill Goldberg showing up and getting angry with fans, because then you have a situation where that can grow and fans start to know that, hey, we can rattle this guy. Let's have some fun at his expense. And so I think as long as he's prepared going in, they can work around it. But, Will, why is it that they would be worried about Bill Goldberg being booed, but if Roman Reigns is booed, it's this greatest thing on earth for them?
Well, I mean, Roman Reigns is getting a reaction, and obviously that's the goal of any wrestling, is to get a reaction, not to tell a coherent story with a hero and a villain.
Ah, that's it. That's it. Okay. Did you have more for us?
I did, actually. I asked myself this as I was watching that disaster of a women's title match last night, and I'm wondering. I love the workers. I love Bayley. I love Charlotte. They are great workers. I'm just wondering if the writers of the main roster have ever seen NXT, because the way they are booking Bayley, you would think that she's the one that might be turning heel instead of the rumor of Sasha Banks. Why would the good girl cookie cutter babyface take two wins in a row like she has? She won the title in bad fashion. I know you guys have talked about that before. And then last night, she obviously knew Sasha was there to help her, but yet before the match, she called out, and I know you guys have both mentioned this, she called out Charlotte saying that she didn't, would she need help to beat her? Could she do it one on a woman? And then Sasha comes out and helps her.
Without comparing notes, without comparing notes, Will questioned WWE, whether he questioned their moral compass. I know after the way that when Bayley declined to turn the title down and gladly accepted the fact that that she had won a championship with that she really didn't earn because of the outside interference, I questioned whether Vince McMahon is morally bankrupt. Yet I get all sorts of pushback on this, Will. There are still people out there who don't see any problem with Bayley winning matches the way she is and being seemingly just happy as could be about it. I wrote today, it'd be different if Sasha was interfering and we saw some sign that, hey, Bayley's not cool with this. It's like, what are you doing? But she's sheepish. It's perfect Bayley. She's shy. But she just shows some facial expression that lets the viewers know, I'm not down with this. And it's going to be addressed later. And instead, they're happy as could be. They're chumming it up on Raw Talk. For whatever reason, Will, they've just decided this is the way to go with the Bayley character. And I think it just flies in the face of everything we saw at NXT. I know there are writers who pay attention to NXT. I don't think Vince McMahon does, and I think that's the problem.
Yeah, I don't think the problem is the writers. I actually think WWE, if you took, say, the executive producer and showrunner and Vince McMahon and took Kevin Dunn out of the writing equation, I think you would end up with a much more coherent and better wrestling product. You would end up with something akin to what NXT is. You would, aside from the fact that NXT currently is boring. you would end up with something really good. You would have coherent characters who tell good stories, but that's not what Vince McMahon is interested in. He's not interested in characters with a moral compass or characters making hard decisions like Bayley would have had to turn over that title. And if you think about it, it's even less logical that she didn't turn it over if they were going to have her win at Fastlane and end that pay-per-view win streak. Because you tease people with that moment on Raw, and then you give them the giant moment of release at Fastlane. You give them that big moment of Bayley didn't just win the title for the first time. She won it fair and square, and she won it on pay-per-view. But what they're doing right now is kind of just killing that Bayley character for a lot of people, killing the idea of her as this moral example. And I come back to something I've said for years about John Cena. When John Cena does the wrong thing, you know, when John Cena would attack someone in a bad way or, you know, kind of use the tactics that are used against him, against his opponent, I've always said John Cena isn't a good person. Not the human John Cena, because that's another subject, but the character John Cena is not a good person. Good people do good things, and John Cena as a character wasn't doing that, and sadly, that's where I'm at with Bayley too. The character Bayley lacks a moral compass because the head writer in WWE doesn't have a moral compass. The main booker doesn't have a moral compass and expects his characters to reflect that. And you're seeing it really ruin some amazing characters that were built up.
I think Vince McMahon, that whole scenario that played out with Bayley being put on the spot by Stephanie McMahon, who was right in everything she said to Bayley about you know, the reasons that she should forfeit the championship. I think Vince McMahon thinks that a person would be a sucker to give up a championship no matter how they want it. I really believe that's the issue here. And, I know there are people out there who will defend this to the end. It's Bayley. They're just happy to see her win the championship. I wonder how many of those people watched NXT closely and actually saw what the Bayley character was. So it's not just the writers and Vince that I wonder, because I just don't know how you can see the character that we saw in NXT that would make grown men cry because she was just so endearing and there was such a charm to her, and see what they've done with her. Strike one for me was the 5-on-1 beatdown that she took part in when it was Raw versus SmackDown. Yeah, and I was, it's like, okay, clearly somebody, she was miscast, somebody made a mistake here. Strike two was her winning the championship and then being confronted with all the evidence in the world and then just gladly keeping her title. And strike three was last night. I'm out. Not that I dislike Bayley, the person playing the character. Not that I hate the character even. Just the thrill is gone. The charm is gone of that Bayley character. So we're very much with you. Anything else today before we move on to some other callers?
Yeah, I don't want to monopolize all the time. Just one last thing. I know we all, because I have seen you guys, we're all kind of wondering what's next for Samoa Joe for WrestleMania, and I don't know how accurate it is or if it's even realistic, but what could be the possibility of maybe a returning Finn Balor stepping in to kind of fill that role?
Good question. Thank you very much for calling. Enjoy the show tonight. I'd definitely love to get some notes from you coming out of the show. If you get a chance, let us know. Dark match results, anything like that, any observations you have from the building that I may miss, it's definitely appreciated. It's a question I don't have the answer to. I have said that if it comes down to, hey, Samoa Joe against Finn Balor, the 20-minute match, that you would expect from a WrestleMania match, or him standing in Hunter's corner, believe it or not, I'll think long-term and say, go ahead and stand in Hunter's corner and beat somebody's ass. Because I want Joe to be, anyone who had an issue with last night's match with Sami Zayn, they didn't give him enough time. They gave him maybe arguably too much time, but it was what it needed to be. It was Joe looking dominant at this early stage in his WWE run. I will enjoy Balor and Joe if we get it, but I'm not, I'm not going to be throwing a fit if they don't have Joe in a match with the idea that we're going to make him look really strong somehow, even if it is just being Hunter's muscle.
I don't want to sound like I don't enjoy good wrestling, but I don't even think I would enjoy Balor and Joe. We saw that main event 3 NXT TakeOver specials. There's no way they're going to get that much time and have that good of a feud with 4 weeks to build it up. Plus, we saw it ad nauseum. Like, we saw that way too many times in NXT. I don't know that Balor and Joe have a whole lot of new that they could give us, or, you know, a whole lot that would make us go, oh, wow, I didn't expect that in that match, especially since it would probably be a 12-minute WrestleMania match. I would rather save Joe. Put him in Triple H's corner. Have that be the big thing. Oh, well, Seth Rollins says he's going to make it no matter what, and Triple H and Samoa Joe will answer him. And maybe you have a Finn Balor help out Seth Rollins in the end. Maybe you have someone actually come in with the assist, and you can get a little bit more out of that. But I don't go straight to Joe versus Balor. It seems just weird to me.
Well, and I think even if they're like, well, who cares? Not everyone's watching NXT. I think the key here is that they both need wins. What kind of goofball finish are we going to get to that match? I think it's going to be unsatisfying. You don't want to bring Finn back and have him lose his first match. Joe shouldn't be losing right now. I think the only time that Joe has looked rough since he's been called up to the main roster was that match with Roman Reigns where they went, I think it was a distraction or something, and but they had to show Roman could have beaten him because, well, he's Roman. Of course he could. That was the one time. I love what they're doing with Joe, and I don't want to see it stop yet. There's going to come a time and a place for Joe to have competitive matches with Zayn, Balor, and others. I don't think it's going to be in time for WrestleMania. And so if they want to have him in a situation where it's a lopsided match and he dominates someone, great. I'm all for it. We'll get, you know, hopefully Joe's going to be around long enough that we're going to have those great Samoa Joe WrestleMania matches. But I don't know where they're going with that. I think that's going to be one of the interesting things about tonight's show. The number to join us is 773-897-6321. I did fail to mention that the chat room is open for if anyone wants to, if you're listening live and you want to correspond with some other listeners, jump on in and do that. But let's go to 616. Who is this? Where are you calling from?
This is Eric from Grand Rapids.
Hey, Eric. Good to hear from you, as always. What's going on today?
I have a question and then an answer, and then I got another question. The first one is, what did you think of the Randy Orton angle last week with Bray Wyatt? Then answer that, and I'll ask my second question.
I was there in person. I sat there shaking my head in disbelief at just how stupid the whole thing was. And then I was even more dumbfounded as I looked around me, and the people were cheering this. Will, I just throw my hands up like, okay, this is your SmackDown main event segment. You're happy with it, people. What am I, you know, who am I to argue?
I find it to be a remarkable bit of consistency. Randy Orton was traumatized by Triple H breaking into his house back in 2009. He was frightened by it. His quote-unquote wife was threatened. It was a really, really horrible moment for him. But Orton managed to repeat the cycle of abuse and actually make it worse by going to Bray Wyatt's home, digging up Bray Wyatt's dead sister, and setting Bray Wyatt's home on fire. And I think it was some really consistent character work from WWE and an utterly baffling angle.
He's a pyromaniac, Eric. He's an arsonist. He should be in jail, but he's the baby.
He hears voices.
He hears voices, yes. Eric, yeah, I did not like it one bit. But again, I can't tell you that the people around me and in XL Center that night, Energy Center that night, didn't. They were cheering. And it was – the other thing I pointed out about this, Eric, is that it was kind of odd. It wasn't – it just kind of gauging on the people around me, it didn't seem like they were surprised that Randy was working against the Wyatts. It was almost like a knowing response, like they expected this.
Well, I liked it because I just thought it's the heel faction leader getting his. So that's what I sort of liked it. I don't know. I had brought it up on Wade's show last week. So
yeah, here's the thing though, and I've been talking about this for weeks. When this whole thing started and the idea came out, well, maybe Randy's working from within the Wyatt family to tear them down. What are you tearing down? This is a faction who's never won anything. Bray Wyatt won one feud over Dean Ambrose, which nobody remembers, and they never held a title before. Randy Orton joins the group. They win the tag titles. Then Bray Wyatt wins the world championship. He's built them up. Randy Orton can, like, join the .NET staff if he's going to build us up to this point, even if he's going to turn on us. That's fine by me.
Yeah, okay, I see your point. But my second question, so I can you can get some more calls. Detroit's opening up their new arena. Are they going to get any pay-per-views any this the rest of the year when they open it up, or do you have any idea?
WWE seems to like that sort of thing, Will. I don't know what type. I mean, they've been running the – Eric, you would know. I mean, they run the Joe Louis Arena, right? And that's the one that's being – is it being replaced outright?
Yeah, the Red Wings and Pistons, they're closing the Palace, too. I always thought the Palace was a better venue than Joe Louis Arena when they came to Detroit. But yeah, they're both moving into downtown arena. The Pistons and Red Wings.
Yeah, I would think you will. They definitely like. I mean, they did. They were among the first to run at the Las Vegas building. I think they like that sort of thing. So I mean, I can't promise you're going to, but it's Detroit. It's a big market. I would think they're going to get in there quickly. And, whether it's a major pay-per-view or not, who knows? But, Will, I mean, they have so many pay-per-views. Just give it time. You're bound to get a pay-per-view these days, right?
Yeah, I think almost every city's going to get a pay-per-view at some point because they're doing, what, like 16 of these things a year?
Except for Boise because Idaho doesn't exist. Except for
Boise. Idaho is fake.
Yeah, it's
– Yeah,
have they run a show in Idaho?
That's all I got.
Cool, Eric. Yeah. I appreciate it. Good luck with getting the show in Detroit. I'm sure you will. It's the funny thing, like here, I mentioned the Xcel Energy Center. For whatever reason, that was the new building. I thought for sure they were going to move there, and they just stayed put at Target Center all these years. And finally, they come back after like an 11-year absence in St. Paul. I don't quite understand what motivates them to stay at Target Center, but. Maybe it's just cheaper rent or something. But in Detroit, it's not like there's a rival building, so I would assume that they're going to get it. But, Will, just kind of back to the Orton thing quickly. I mean, are you assuming he beats AJ tomorrow on SmackDown in the third straight number one contenders match for a SmackDown main event and then moves on to face Bray in a singles match? Or is there some outside shot that, hey, they're going to have another schmoz and they're just going to make it a triple threat?
I kind of hope that we have number one contenders matches on SmackDown every week until WrestleMania. I want there to
even
be...
Even coming out.
In fact, let's put one on the WrestleMania pre-show for the shot later in the show as well. And Orton, like you do Orton and Styles this week, Luke Harper runs in, Orton wins. Then Luke Harper comes in, has definitive proof that Styles hit the floor first. You know, he has some Polaroids taken at the event or something. Luke Harper gets himself a number one contender shot. Like, you can just keep cycling through people. At some point, John Cena's just like, I lost a championship in 2010 and never got a rematch. I want my shot now. And he gets a number one contender shot until finally you get to Orton versus Wyatt at WrestleMania. Outside of that facetious answer, yes. I think Orton wins. Styles then takes out his aggression on Shane McMahon, and we get the build-up to what could be the best and worst match at this WrestleMania.
And this is the most important question I'm going to ask you all day. You are known as our .net resident social justice warrior. Does PETA care about worms? Because, man, they torched some worms on SmackDown with that Randy Orton-Wyatt family angle.
That does worry me. I've written some letters to WWE about it. No, I don't think it really matters. That sounds mean, right? That's a little cruel. Do we know if the interior of that shed was what they actually set on fire? Or was that, like, shed set, and then they had an exterior, like, shed shell built around, built to actually burn down? I'm kind of
curious.
I have
no clue, but I will say, I think, believe it or not, I think the worms were, like, a different shot. I think they had, like, some footage of worms that they would just cut to for this gravesite. It didn't look like it was consistent.
They have all
the worms maybe
worm
safe everyone.
Hanging out. Yeah. They had all that boogeyman worm footage hanging out. They just managed to recycle it.
That might be exactly what it was, yeah. Hey, let's go to 111 here in just a second, but a reminder, 773-897-6321 is the number to call. Hit 1 on your phone once you've done that, and then we will know you want to speak with me, Jason Powell, and him. Will Pruitt, this is ProWrestling.net Live. We are taking your phone calls, WWE, TNA, Impact Wrestling, Ring of Honor, whatever you want to chat about, we are here. Let's go to 111. So Skype, international, if you hear me, say hi. Tell me who you are and where you're calling from. I heard you. Who's this?
Mr. Rabbit.
Oh, my. Rabbit from the rabbit hole. The self-proclaimed number one poster and quintessential stud muffin of the .NET Members Forum. Rabbit, good to hear from you. What's up?
I was born a .NET original. I will die a .NET.
Oh, I forgot that part. Yeah, we do that in Q&A, which this show bumps on Mondays that we do it. But Rabbit is probably our most consistent question submitter. Is that a thing? He throws out the Q's, I give him the A's, that kind of thing. But Rabbit, what's on your mind today?
Okay, I got a lot of things you were talking about Bailey. You're 100% wrong on Bailey.
Here we go.
I've been around wrestling for a lot of years. And
which
I know
obviously
you're
right.
And I see angles coming and going. I can spot things a mile away. So I go all the way back to the 60s in San Francisco and in Detroit, big-time wrestling. So I know wrestling really well. But here's my point on Bailey. Don't you know guys know where this is really going? What's going to happen at WrestleMania?
She's going to debut a new I'm a Bad Person t-shirt?
No.
Oh, I'm
real.
A bad person
hey,
and
I'm
a
serious.
Hugger.
No. Izzy. This is all leading to Izzy.
She turns on Izzy?
She's going to start her on fire?
No.
Oh,
no.
That
when
would be great.
Out, the whole point is after she wrestles and she's going to hug Izzy when she heading to the ring. When she wins and she beats Charlotte, she's going to hug Izzy. And Izzy's going to get so much attention more than she did in NXT because this is WrestleMania. Everyone's going to be going Izzy crazy.
Okay, so what does that have to do with the approach they've taken? Even if that's all true,
yeah.
Right?
That could have all happened
done all
without
of that
her
and done the right thing.
Winning the title.
Vince, what Vince did was Vince changed
made her lack a moral compass.
Yeah, for more for the general people, but she's still Bailey. She might not be as naive as she was.
Her name is Bailey. That's for sure.
But she's still Bailey. She's still doing the same character. They might fine
tune
her a little bit.
That's completely false. She's not doing the same character. She's
no,
a character without a moral compass, and she had a very strong moral compass in NXT. Like that, people's actions reflect their character, and that's the thing with Bailey. Her actions don't reflect the character that she has been for so long. Her actions reflect someone who's willing to cheat to win, and I think that's the definition of a wrestling heel, actually.
They're going to do one of two things to her. And you can call me on this any way you want. They're going to do two things. Either Bailey turns at WrestleMania and she goes full heel, or Sasha's going to turn on her. But either way, something like that's going to happen at WrestleMania.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
that
Robin,
doesn't justify
I
what they've done.
No, and I do think there's a good chance that Sasha's turning, but even that isn't making sense with the way they've told the story. That's what I was saying earlier. If Bailey was showing signs that she's not real crazy about it, the way Sasha's been getting involved in her matches, but she doesn't want to rock the boat either, just showing some conflict there, well, then you're telling a story, and it's setting up Sasha eventually deeming Bailey ungrateful, even going so far as to say she'd never be champion had it not been for her interference, which is totally true. You could tell the story that Sasha was manipulating things because she thinks there's a better chance of beating Bailey, even though I don't really care for that one because she'd still have to face Charlotte eventually anyway. So I do think that's probably where they're going, Rabbit. But again, I'm sorry, bud, you just haven't done a great job of really stating the case. I'm waiting for someone to. I keep getting people telling you're wrong, the Bailey character is great and all this, but no one's ever really had a good explanation other than it's okay if babyfaces cheat.
I mean, if you notice some of the changes, I noticed when they put up those giant balloons when she comes in the ring, they never did that in NXT. She's wearing a jacket with the name Bailey on
they
it.
Did
she
do
never
that
wore
in
that.
NXT.
I don't remember those big, tall things in NXT. And I don't remember her wearing a jacket with Bailey on it like she's wearing now.
And I mean, remember her being just happy that she would win matches she didn't deserve to win. You know, I mean, that's the issue here. I don't want to spend all day on her. Do you have more for us?
Yeah, I do. The other thing I was going to say is I want to go back to Pat Patterson. He was a booker in San Francisco at Big Time Wrestling. And Pat was known for his humor and various things. I think Pat still has a hand in WWE and what's going on with all this stuff with Samoa Joe and Triple H. I think he's still doing it. I think he still has his hand in stuff. There's just so many things I'm noticing at different times that I keep thinking, I've seen this stuff before. You know, I mean, I know there's nothing new in wrestling. Everything's reused 100,000 times. My biggest gripe, and this is, I've never publicly said this before, but is the way Vince telegraphs it. He wants to make sure that a six-year-old can turn on television and know what's going to happen. I mean,
lost me, though. I'm a 44-year-old, and I don't know what they're doing with Bailey anymore. So, I mean, that you would think if you're playing to a younger audience, I don't know. I mean, there's certain characters. As I've said, if Dean Ambrose wins a title that way and Stephanie tries to take it away from him, I would expect Dean to go, screw you, I'm keeping my championship. It works for him. But, yeah, I mean, Bailey, I don't know that it is so obvious. It's been confusing.
Well, I'm not talking about Bailey per se. I'm just talking about in general. I mean,
in general,
I mean, you know, certain things are going to happen. You know, they telegraph it. You can't have somebody new come out without it being blown up. But such and such as the Rock's going to be there. It used to be that you never knew what was going to happen on wrestling. You just turn it on television in kayfabe, and you were enthralled by what went on television. You just knew it was exciting. I mean, I went to the Cow Palace to many shows where there was title matches, and I was, like everybody else, on pins and needles, not sure what was going to happen. It, you know, I mean, it was really good. San Francisco probably was one of the best wrestling.
Well, you're breaking up on us now, Rabbit. I definitely appreciate the call. I miss some of the unpredictability in wrestling. I do wonder at times whether our younger selves were, you know, just a little bit more naive to the way things work, and if we went back at, you know, knowing what we know today, the way the business has changed and everything's been exposed as much as it has, if we were to go back and watch it at the age we are now, and it was fresh, whether we'd still feel certain things were predictable, other things weren't. But, I mean, I think, by and large, people enjoy the unpredictability that wrestling can provide, Will. The surprise appearances, that sort of a thing, like we saw with Ring of Honor over the weekend, with the Hardy showing up, Bubba Ray Dudley showing up. I mean, and it's not just Ring of Honor, but, I mean, that's something that people enjoy. And we might as well talk about that. I thought maybe some callers would bring up TNA and Ring of Honor. Hasn't happened yet. But let's start with Ring of Honor and your thoughts on what we saw over the weekend and the news that apparently at least the Hardys are going to be at Friday's 15th anniversary pay-per-view in Las Vegas. I'll have live coverage on the site at ProWrestling.net as the show airs. But just your thoughts on everything that's happened with Ring of Honor and where you see all of this going.
I think it's a fun thing for Ring of Honor. The Hardys are obviously hot free agent acts. They needed to do something different than just hang out in TNA and win tag titles with blurred referee faces. I think TNA, in a sense, they managed to write themselves off of TNA perfectly to them and the Broken Universe going to Ring of Honor, which is just the funniest thing ever, that TNA basically aired commercials for the Hardys leaving on their weekly TV, which is just ridiculous. I think it's a cool thing for TNA or for Ring of Honor to get the Hardys in, especially it seems like they're there on the short term through WrestleMania, and it should be a nice boost for them and maybe move some tickets on the shows that the Hardys are going to be on. I think it's a little odd that Ring of Honor seems to be embracing, you know, TNA circa 2013 through 2016 with Bubba Ray Dudley and the Hardys. It's not exactly a compelling vision for the future of wrestling, or, you know, not exactly what I expect to see from Ring of Honor. I'm not going to complain about it too much, but I think they are relying quite a bit on the past instead of trying to build the future, and that's largely what I think is wrong with wrestling in general right now. So it's not something I'm going to praise.
Yeah, I will praise it, because I want Ring of Honor to be more than just the little guy. I think they have a major corporation and Sinclair Broadcast Group behind them. They choose not to spend a ton of money on this, clearly. I wish they would. I think Ring of Honor has a good thing going. And where I'll praise them is that they're creating a buzz for themselves. They're stepping up. It's not just, well, we're bringing the guys from New Japan back again. You know, and I enjoy watching the guys from New Japan, but there's only so many times you can do it, and it's going to feel special. I think the Hardys definitely feel like a major buzzworthy move. Bully Ray, not as much, but I tell you what, if they use Bully Ray right, I think it can be really beneficial. I don't know how many jobs, you know, the Hardys will probably drop the tag titles to the Young Bucks in Lakeland, Florida, WrestleMania weekend. I don't know that the Bucks really need it. I don't know if anyone really benefits from that. But I could actually see Bubba Ray Dudley putting over a key person, you know, really trying to make someone stand out. And I think that's the key here, Will. If they do something like that, they utilize him in that way where, yeah, they make, you know, he's the star and they treat him like a star, but it's all building up to that moment where he helps create another star, then I think, you know, it's a good move on their part.
Yeah, and I think that's fine if they build him up and treat him like a star and he helps to create another star. If this just becomes a meandering run where he wins and loses some and doesn't really get anyone over in the process, I think it'll be a mistake. Given the way Ring of Honor's booked generally over the last few years, I am pessimistic. I think it's going to be the latter, because I have no confidence in Hunter Johnston as a booker.
Well, and that's fair. I mean, the television show has been...
I'm a pessimist today.
Well, you know, there's certainly elements. He has strengths, but he has some weaknesses. The television show has been a weakness for a while. It's getting better. I felt like the go-home show, I'll have my review up on the site probably Wednesday, but it's more focused on the pay-per-views than they've done in the past. I mean, it's a lot of elementary things that, for some reason, just... they weren't doing. So I'm kind of praising them for doing things they should have been doing all along when it comes to the television show. But I do think I look forward to watching it. It doesn't just feel like here's three random matches. It's might as well be 205 Live. You know, I mean, it doesn't have that feel to it anymore. So they've taken some steps forward. And I find myself looking forward to Friday's show. I don't know. Mike Bennett and Maria are still out there. They obviously have ties with Ring of Honor in the past. I don't know if they'll be showing up, if they're WWE bound. You know, there's still some people out there that they could bring in if they want to make more of a splash. But I think anything that they can do to bring people into their product and with the goal of using these people to bring eyeballs to the product and expose what you have, the guys who are going to be there, is a good thing. And so I went from being kind of, it'll be a decent show, Daniels challenging for the championship, should be kind of fun. And now all of a sudden it feels a lot hotter. So it has that going for it. Let's go to 305. Again, the number to call is 773-897-6321. Jason Powell and Will Pruitt here taking your phone calls on ProWrestling.net Live. 305, is this, let me guess, DJ from Miami?
Yep. How you guys doing?
Oh, yes, it feels good. I am very Nostradamus-like. What's up, DJ?
I got two things. My first thing is what the Roman Reigns thing. Do you guys think that the Undertaker, I think he should have came out at the pay-per-view compared to coming out on Raw. I mean, what doesn't make any sense is John Cena mentioned him, but they're not going to fight. It's going to be him and Roman. Like, but my question is this. If he runs over Braun Strowman, I just hope he doesn't run over Undertaker, because that's going to be two in a row, and that's going to be, you know, like that, you know how they overpush him. So what do you guys think, like, what's going to really happen? And my second thing is after that.
Will, What's Roman Reigns doing? Is he going to plow through Undertaker, beat Brock Lesnar, destroy Bill Goldberg, beat Vince McMahon, Shane McMahon, even Stephanie McMahon? Is Roman Reigns in the winning streak ever going to end?
I really don't think so at this moment. I do think Roman Reigns beats Undertaker, and I think he is I think Goldberg wins the title at WrestleMania, and within a month, that title is back on Roman Reigns. Lesnar wins the title at Mania, and within a month, that title is back on Roman Reigns, and Roman is back to being your champion. I don't think it ends. My only hope is that the Roman Reigns character changes and evolves through that and becomes more of an antagonist, because I do think he could play that role really, really well. I actually thought he was doing really well last year when he was the champion coming out of WrestleMania with the I'm the guy kind of mission statement of I don't need to be a good guy. I'm not going to try to be that. I thought that was really compelling right up until he lost the title and got suspended and all of those things happened that threw it off track. I was into that character, and I thought it was a fine character at the helm of WWE.
My dream scenario, yeah, he beats Taker, but he does it by cheating. Then he beats Brock Lesnar for the championship, and he gets help from Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman ends up aligned with Roman Reigns, pointing to the Goldberg losses and saying that it was time to move on. It's time to ride a different horse. He'd run that one into the ground. Roman Reigns is his guy now. Roman's a heel. We move forward. But, DJ, yeah, I think Roman beats Taker. I think, like Will says, he beats Lesnar. Whether it's a month, whether it's a next night, whether it's SummerSlam, yeah, I think my best guess is that Vince is just going to keep on keeping on with this whole Roman Reigns is he's the guy thing. He's a baby face that everybody boos, and it's okay because he's getting a reaction. So, yeah, that's where things stand.
Okay, my second thing is with the Jack Swagger thing. Now that I feel like Kurt Angle's come back, I think that would be a great angle of him and Jack Swagger, but I feel like Jack Swagger's going to go to TNA and maybe get into the belt, you know, because Dutch is over there and they were, you know, buddies for a long time. So, I mean, from there, I don't know what he would do, but that's the only thing I can think. Jack Swagger, you know, he's leaving now. He could have did some great things with Angle. He could have been his manager. Could have did anything. I mean, he's a good wrestler.
So many things
now
happened over the weekend. It almost feels like the Jack Swagger thing happened like 2 weeks ago. But, yeah, he is not quite a free agent. He was booked for a show that on the promotion that Paige's family owns and operates in England, against Alberto El Patron, a.k.a. Alberto Del Rio. And it was very odd. I reached out to WWE right away when Chael Sonnen inserted boasting that Swagger had asked for and received his release, and he had all the info on his podcast, and WWE didn't respond. And sometimes that can mean, well, they're just going to wait and announce it themselves. Other times it can mean, wait and see. Well, sure enough, it was the wait and see, because they eventually issued a statement saying that he's not released yet, essentially, Will. And when he does, he's still, you know, he's got a 90-day non-compete, that sort of a thing.
Yeah, the Jack Swagger situation seems really, really strange for him to come out and say he publicly asked for his release and kind of make a scene about being unhappy with things the way he did, which I also know that's pro wrestling and what guys do. But I can't say that pairing Jack Swagger with Kurt Angle is compelling to me. I see more in pairing Kurt Angle with a tag team like American Alpha. I think you were doing something that's more geared towards your future. I mean, Jack Swagger's been on the WWE main roster for, what, 8 years? He's had his chances. He's had world title runs. It's time to move on from trying to make Jack Swagger a thing. When you've got new stars, you can be building.
For me, a Swagger match is like something you do. You've got the big match set up, whatever it is, for the pay-per-view, but for some reason they want to pop a rating, and so they give you Kurt Angle's first match on Raw, and it's against Jack Swagger. You know who's going to win. There's a little bit of fun there because they both do the ankle lock, and there's some similarities there, but that's about it. It's not a marquee match. It's not. Could you do it as, like, Angle's return to WWE match and make that the hook? Well, sure, but you could do that with a lot of people. So, yeah, I mean, does Swagger end up in TNA? Maybe. You know, I mean, yeah, he was managed by Dutch. I don't know that anyone is going to be leaving WWE for the promise of a TNA deal necessarily right now.
Hey, if they
went all in on someone.
Yeah, well, TNA is the company that for years put former WWE guys on top and in title matches. They're bringing back the regime that loved bringing in, surprise, it's blank from WWE and giving them a title shot right away. I mean, it's really true to form that they would do that with the latest cast-off, and that would be Jack Swagger.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to make Impact great again, and that's when they were doing a lot of that.
Oh, I have so many opinions about that.
Oh, I know. It's
we'll
definitely get into it here in a second.
Yeah.
DJ, I hope we answered your question about Swagger, but did you have more for us? I think you said you had one more.
My last thing is that I don't know what's really going to go on with Seth Rollins and Triple H. Like, I don't know where Joe stands, but let's say Joe, I don't know. I mean, I feel like maybe Joe should attack Triple H and say he's the man if Seth can't come back or something, because I mean, what, he's just gonna do a Sami Zayn again? I mean, I don't want to watch that. This is a big star coming in, and this is his main, you know, first WrestleMania. I think he needs to, you know, do something good.
Well, if something good is him destroying someone, as I said earlier, cool. If something good is him going out there and having the goal of having a Matt Classic with Finn Balor, I'm kind of opposed just because I think they both need wins. I want Joe to have that natural progression. I want Joe to be in ass-kicker mode as he was last night, and I'm okay with that. But I think Rollins is coming back. I mean, I don't know that you'd be seeing the rehab video and all of that, as we talked about. You know, it was an MCL injury. It's everyone associates it with the ACL because oftentimes you get – both torn, you're used to hearing it from sports and football and things. MCL far less serious when it comes to, at least when it comes to the recovery time. And so all signs point to Seth coming back for WrestleMania. Will, do you have any doubts at all that it's going to be Seth and Hunter at Mania?
I think it will be Seth and Hunter. I think they are shying away from calling it a match for good reason, because I tend to think they're going to have a fight that Seth ends up winning. But I don't see any other option there, and I think that also allows Samoa Joe to be involved and look like a destroyer of some sort. I disagree with the caller in saying that Samoa Joe needs to have a great match at Mania. I don't see where that fits on the card. I don't see where that fits in Joe's progression, and I don't think it's what I wrote about today. I don't think it's right to blow off long-term potential and long-term storytelling for short-term anything. And I think just because it's WrestleMania and Samoa Joe is getting his first Mania, you don't completely ruin the Joe character by having him go toe-to-toe with Sami Zayn and not dominate. It's still in the season when Joe needs to be dominant.
Did we answer everything, DJ?
My last thing is, when will you guys be back?
Sometime leading up to WrestleMania, for sure. That's the thing. I mentioned it earlier. I haven't set the schedule yet. We are going to be, from going forward, though, WrestleMania and beyond, every Monday after a WWE pay-per-view in this time slot is the plan. But WrestleMania will certainly have some special programming as well. But, going forward, each Monday after a WWE pay-per-view, we'll be here, 3 Central, 4 Eastern, taking your calls. Good enough?
Yep. I'll see you soon.
Sounds great, DJ. Always nice to hear from you. A big shout-out to Rabbit also. I forgot to mention that Rabbit went out of his way and got himself Skype just so that he could call into the shows. He had an issue with his phone, and so he wasn't able to do it. Yeah, he went out and got himself Skype specifically so he could call into the show. I always appreciate Rabbit. Will, I think this is a good point now we'll close off the calls. And I'm going to give a spoiler warning, because with everything going on in TNA, it may be kind of difficult to not talk about certain things. And so I'll just give a spoiler warning up front. If you are avoiding all things related to Impact Wrestling episodes that will air beginning Thursday and beyond, good time to check out. I will answer a few of the member questions that they've submitted here we'll have the benefit of the option of either sticking around or getting the hell out of here at the top of the hour if he wants. But I do want to talk to you, Will, about everything going on in TNA. So with the spoiler warning issued, let's get into it. Impact Wrestling, they're making it great again. Jeff Jarrett's in charge. Dutch Mantel is kind of heading up creative, although he does report to Jeff. They reached out to Vinnie Rue, but I don't think that's going anywhere, especially since Vinnie Rue had a meltdown and made sure that everyone knew they reached out to Vinnie Rue. Bruce Pritchard's back. I just checked with somebody today, and they said nothing happening behind the scenes with Bruce. He was very much just an on-air talent, so he's not actively working in a role behind the scenes for the company yet or anything like that, just there as a talent so far. But, you know, a lot of comings and goings in TNA. We mentioned some of the departures in the form of the Hardys, obviously Drew Galloway, and Mike and Maria, Mike Bennett, Maria Kanellis Bennett. And then we've had some arrivals. I know I'm throwing a lot at you, Will, but you said you had a lot to say. Let's hear it.
Well, the first thing is just the whole make Impact great again thing. Hey, without getting too political, half of the country not super down with the make America great again phrase. Half of the country cool with it. If you want to do that, why bring that into wrestling? Like, why decide you need to do that? It also just feels like it's not current. I know Donald Trump is the president of the United States, but he was using that phrase a year ago. And a year ago would have been the time to run the current events angle off of it. It feels like you're hopping on that bandwagon a little too late, kind of trying to pick up buzz by using it, but it's not buzzy anymore. It's not important anymore. I really think that itself is flawed. But more than anything else, what I see in TNA is bringing back an old regime, bringing back old faces, old names, and not doing the things that made TNA Impact a genuinely good television show last year, and not pushing those people and those things and kind of that following up on that creative effort that made 2016 the best year of Impact Wrestling television ever. It's saying we need to go back to 2005, 2006, when almost every pay-per-view ended with a guitar shot. Your best wrestlers were held down in the mid-card, and it was a vanity project to make Jeff Jarrett seem important. What's going to change? What are they going to do now to make Impact actually worth watching? I just don't see it. I don't see in the people they're bringing in. I don't see in the moves they're making. I think they are producing a really flawed wrestling show, and I think TNA is, in a sense, in more trouble than ever, not financially, but just in terms of relevance. Who cares? Like, it's not a product that makes people care about it.
Alberto El Patron brought in.
That dude's
given
trouble.
A very, yeah, you know, and I did, in talking with people today, it's like he and Paige were on their best behavior. And that's, you know, somebody said, well, you know, they're very much tied at the hip, but you know, they were well behaved and all of that. That's, you know, step one, and hopefully it's not going to be an issue. I don't know that I would have been willing to do business. And from TNA's perspective, they run what, four shows every month or so, basically, for these tapings. Maybe they feel like, you know, and obviously he's a guy who would have some relationship with Dutch Mantel. You know, they work together in WWE as well. So you know, I mean, we'll wait and see on that. They have brought in some new faces. You know, we talk about the returning names, and it's kind of it feels like a step back. There's a lot of global force talent on the undercard right now. So there are some new faces, and I don't know how – there's thought that it basically one of the things people are watching for is that if you sign with this company before the new year, before Anthem took over – how well are they going to treat you compared to the people that they are bringing in now? And only time will tell. I want this company to succeed. But, yeah, I mean, as soon as they announced Jeff Jarrett's coming back to lead the charge and he's putting the band back together, I was automatically skeptical. You have to be, because I know they're going to blame Dixie Carter. It's all her fault. And if it wasn't for that meddling Dixie, I'm sorry. They had a hand, a major hand, and this company's failures over the years. And they'll point to, oh, we were doing 1.whatever million viewers on Spike TV. Well, you're not on Spike TV. And they haven't been in some time. Maybe you should have been doing the 2 million that Spike TV wanted from you. And maybe you could have achieved that had you done a better job in a lot of different areas. And, yeah, Dixie gets some of the blame, but I don't think it's all Dixie all the time that when it comes to finger-pointing and TNA. I can't say on paper that I was wowed by what we saw coming out of the Impact tapings, but I also want to let it air. You know, you got to see it. It's one thing to read it, another thing to see it. Hopefully it's going to be good, but, man, I don't know. I mean, just I'm totally with you in this whole Make TNA Great Again campaign. It's, to me, Will, it's as dated as Jack or as Bo Dallas coming out with a frickin' political sign after the election.
Yeah, it's more dated than that because it's further back past the election now. And it's just going to piss people off. Like, it's going to make some people happy and some people upset. And even the people it makes happy, it's not like, or the people who enjoy the use of that phrasing, if you will, it's not like they're going to be like, yeah, this is great now. I love wrestling. Like, that is not the effect it's going to have. And honestly, by saying make it great again, you're going, well, it's not great. Impact Wrestling, not great, I think is a solid subheading for the show, but probably not the message you want to send.
There was a report that TNA and Jeff Jarrett was talking with Spike TV, Scott Fishman, about the product returning there. Brian Fritz of BetweenTheRopes.com spoke with a PR contact at it, and a good one at that. It's not just some, I'll put it this way, you know, there's certain PR people who just aren't in the loop. You know, they work for the company. Their job is just to go get a simple press release from somebody who matters. And then there's also companies that their press people are really engaged. You know, they're a big part of things. They know what's going on. And my understanding is that the PR person went so far as to contact Scott Fishman, the person in question, and ask him directly about it. Didn't think anything was going on when he talked with Fishman. My understanding is that no, they're not negotiating. They're not in discussions about television. And believe me, I was suspicious too because we've been reporting the last few months now that Scott Fishman, Spike executive, has been hanging out at backstage at a lot of shows, talking with people today. There's still so a lot of questions about like, boy, he's here an awful lot. You know, yeah, he used to visit once in a while because he is from the area, but he sure is here a lot. So, I mean, there's still hope within TNA that maybe something can happen. But right now, Spike saying on the record they're not interested. And I mean, it's what you would expect. I guess you would think that a PR, if they're going to issue a statement, would simply be no comment. If there was some consideration, you wouldn't think they just outright say nothing's happening. But a lot can change. I guess, Will, one of the issues is that Spike's rebranding. You know, they're focused on Bellator, but they're also rebranding. I just don't – if I was Spike, I would certainly talk with TNA because I think it would be a nice – not necessarily lead-in for Bellator, but if Bellator's on a Friday night, you've got Impact, you have that audience, you promote Bellator to that audience if you can get it at a reduced rate, that sort of a thing. But it just I don't know that at the end of the year when this pop deal's up that it's part of making Impact great again is going to be moving it back to Spike TV. It'd be great if it was, but I just don't know how realistic it is.
Well, and TNA isn't going to get the same deal they got from Spike. I mean,
no.
TNA is not going to be the money pit it was for Spike at one point where, you know, the Carters poured a couple mil in and Spike would pour a couple mil in and you'd get Hulk Hogan, Sting, and Ric Flair on the show. I don't see those days coming back ever. So even if they did get back on Spike, are we talking about many upgrades in production? Are we talking about many upgrades in anything other than maybe potential eyes on the show? Even with that, I don't think if Impact were on Spike right now, I don't know how different its numbers would be. You look at the overall fall off in cable ratings year over year over the last 3 years, and fewer people are watching cable. Fewer people are watching it live. You look at that even with WWE, which has experienced that fall off, and you look at the continual downward patterns of average ratings every year. I don't think Impact would be doing 1.2 million. Impact would probably be doing maybe 500,000 viewers, like possibly if they were on Spike TV again. Is that worth it to Spike? I mean, is that worth the money TNA might ask of them?
Well, if you're Spike, I think you got to look at the TNA and say, well, you have a barter deal with Pop TV. You know, we're willing to, and any network for that matter, that is willing to do some business with TNA in 2018. I look at it and say, we'll give you something for production expenses and things like that. You're not breaking the bank for this. You know, go back, go take your barter deal. Isn't something better than nothing? I mean, unless TNA can somehow create some bidding, they're basically going to have to take whatever deal they can get. Hopefully it's better than the one they had with Pop. I mean, hopefully Pop steps up. I don't know that Pop is in a position to do that. They seem like they're trying to grow, but it's a very slow growth. So, yeah. One other thing I do want to say is that about these tapings, I think we have to at least give the benefit of the doubt. I do want to talk to more people about this. But, again, we haven't seen the tapings. It might turn out to be really good. But if it's kind of like, boy, this isn't all that great, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt until I hear otherwise, that I believe a lot of the TV was written around the Hardys, Drew Galloway, and all of that kind of came to a head shortly before the taping. So there might have been a lot of scrambling taking place, too. So one thing to keep in mind as this all plays out, you and Jake had an all-access audio show dedicated to TNA that I found very entertaining, Will. That one went up. I'm sorry, that was not all-access. That was a member exclusive that went up over the weekend. I got a big kick out of that one. But anything else you want to say about TNA? And again, I'll give you the option if you want to stick around for these member bonus questions or if you want to call it a day.
I'll stick around for the questions. Yeah, and I have nothing else on TNA. It's one of the most irrelevant things in wrestling to me.
Really quick, I do want to tell you guys that, you know, we've been mentioning membership. It's the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. Never been easier than it is now to sign up on your mobile phone. There was kind of some size issues and things like that with the mobile phone. So if you go there, if you've tried in the past and just it was kind of flaky, know that it's been upgraded and it's all good. $7.50 gets you in the door for 1 month of membership. Obviously, WrestleMania season, jump on it. If you want to save yourself some money, 6 month option available, knocks them off the price. The annual knocks $2 per month off the price of .NET membership, bringing the average down to $5.50 a month. Visit the main page of ProWrestling.net. You'll find the sign up area right there on the main page, very hard to miss. Once you're in there, you'll see those three different pricing options. Jump on board, enjoy WrestleMania season. We'll have a ton of audio content as we do each and every week. The members get just they'll hear my Raw audio review tonight, all the major television shows and pay-per-views. They listen to 70 minutes of Jake Barnett and I discussing WWE Fastlane, as Jake and I do after all the major WWE pay-per-views as well. So with Mania here, again, treat yourself to ProWrestling.net membership. Now those bonus questions. We start with .NET member Jeremy J. Moss Moses from Cincinnati, Ohio. Bailey. He says he has a conspiracy theory. Do you think Vince McMahon is doing this purposely, Will, because Bailey was literally everything they tried to make Roman Reigns? So Vince sabotaged her in his effort to make Roman the one true babyface of the roster, and he says he might be going down the rabbit hole, but it makes as much sense as anything.
I would say Roman Reigns never had a moral compass.
True. Yeah. I don't think they're connected.
The
I just don't think it's the Bailey character.
I think it's more he doesn't understand characters who do the right thing. And that's actually apparent probably over the entire history of WWE.
I don't remember. Was like Hulk Hogan? I mean, it's been a long time, but I grew up watching
Hulk. He used a lot of eye rakes, man.
Were there times when he was just happy as could be to get wins because somebody else helped him cheat?
I don't think so, but he did pull Sid out of the 1992 Royal Rumble. I mean, the Hulkster was down to cheat.
And doing it later, to, you know, latter-day Hulk Hogan, when, like, the whole WrestleMania thing with Bret and Yoko, like, yuck. But anyway, Shark Mary, not a member, says he loves the live shows, but he just can't call in. I'm guessing there's a work conflict. He says, so Chris Jericho screws Kevin Owens out of the title. Wouldn't better revenge for Jericho be to take the title from Owens himself? Your thoughts on that, Will?
I sort of agree. I don't understand doing the Jericho and Owens angle. I still, maybe they can do something tonight that'll make me get it, but I don't understand doing that angle prior to Fastlane. I think
maybe
a more compelling build to Fastlane easily would have been Jericho and Owens are going to take out Goldberg and basically have them tell you, we will attack him before the match, and then Goldberg's going to come back, spear, jackhammer, win. And Owens tonight could then blame Chris Jericho for the loss somehow. I think they made a mistake with when they pulled off that turn.
I do, too. I mean, you could have easily had Jericho, just like I said, something backfires, and And then tonight, Owens is acting like everything's okay. Jericho tries to make it up for him with this festival of friendship, and bam, it happens. I'm not sure why they did this when they did. It's not like Jericho disappeared. He was still, even though he didn't wrestle, he was appearing on the overseas house show tours even. So, yeah, the timing of that is very strange. Would it be better revenge for Jericho? Yeah, but he's not going to get that revenge. You know, I mean, from a character, I know what he's saying. From a character standpoint, like, well, yeah, you'd think he'd want the championship for himself, but it's not going to happen because Goldberg and Brock Lesnar are doing their thing. And so this was probably the best revenge that Jericho could get, especially considering he's probably going to lose at WrestleMania and drop the U.S. Championship to Kevin Owens, too. This might have been their only real significant chance to give Chris Jericho a major dose of revenge. Also from Shark Mary, he wanted to know, he asked about the Chicago crowd and Roman Reigns. We touched on that earlier, but specifically wants to know, do we think Roman Reigns will get a promo, Will?
They don't give Roman Reigns long promos in front of friendly crowds. Like, pick the friendliest crowd to Roman Reigns, and he's still getting interrupted by someone 30 seconds into his promo because they don't trust him to talk for a long time. I think that's just the formula now.
Yeah, they could have like his entire family and everyone from Samoa all cheering Roman Reigns, and someone would still interrupt him. Have you seen the Samoan family tree in wrestling alone?
Oh, it's insane. It's almost every professional wrestler. Like, I still wonder, like, when Samoa Joe met The Rock a couple weeks ago, if he's like, so if he like broke out the family tree and was like, no, really, I'm on it.
Well, there's a few on there that they're not really related. They just consider themselves all one big happy family. And there's some big guys, Will. I'm not going to argue with them. They say they're family. They're family.
Yeah, I'm pretty afraid of most of that Samoan family. I mean, I've peed next to Roman Reigns, and he's an intimidating human.
Wow. We'll have to talk off air about that one. Is Brock Goldberg really going to be the main event? Yes, it is. But he also says over-under on the match time. He said it at 5 minutes. Do you think it will? And he also said, do you think it'll be better than the one from 03? Well, yeah, it
yes.
might not be better. But what's the over under on match time for you?
I would probably set it around 10 minutes. I think they could get a well choreographed and put together 10 minute match. I don't think they can go much longer than that. Honestly, without both men blowing up. I mean, look at how purple Brock Lesnar turns during matches. That dude doesn't have the strongest cardio in the world. And Goldberg, there's a reason he hasn't had matches longer than 90 seconds. And that's because they don't trust his cardio. So I think that's more your issue.
Well, and they've reached the end point, potentially. You know, I mean, I'm sure they'd like to do more with Bill Goldberg after this. But if he goes out there and has a 10-minute match, yeah, they're going to be disappointed. It's WrestleMania. But they don't need to hide him. You're not hiding him to get him to WrestleMania anymore. He's there. And so you can take more chances with him. And if it bombs, they're not going to be pleased. But you could still, you know, you can go 10 minutes with some ringside brawling, some smoke and mirrors, if they want to. The more I think about this, I think I'll put the over-under. I'm with you now. I think I probably said 5 minutes last night. You convinced me. I think 10 minutes is where it's at. It's not going to be a 20-minute classic by any means, but hopefully. And let's not forget, you know, somebody mentioned Pat Patterson. Rabbit mentioned Pat Patterson earlier. He worked some magic with Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior back in the day, you know, and no one expected that match to be as good as it was. And I don't know that this match is going to be as good as that was. I just don't know that Goldberg's capable of it. But I think when you have a guy like Pat Patterson involved, which they do, he can lay out a pretty good match, and hopefully Goldberg can hold up his end. By the way, all the talk about Goldberg sweating, Will, does no one notice this man comes out and he has this, like, just shower of fireworks go over him? That can't be exactly a cool environment.
Yeah, and he's probably like most wrestlers, or like a lot of wrestlers who shower before they come out. I know The Rock famously does so.
Did you shower next
whenever
to the
he's
Rock?
Appearing? I have never showered next to The Rock. Life goals right there. no, but he I've had some really weird experiences with the Samoan family tree. but I believe he, like, it's possible that he showers before he comes out, or he douses himself in water, like he wants to look shiny as he comes out, and I think that's very, very possible. Maybe he rams his head into the side of the shower the way he does lockers and doors.
Are we going to find out, like, next month that you, like, washed Sika's back at one point or something?
Very, very possible. I'm going to dole this information out slowly.
Yeah, and if you haven't, there's still time. I mean, I could see it happening sometime between now and then. Final question comes from Assassin 5 from Parts Unknown. He is a .M member. And this is interesting. I probably should have been aware of it, but I wasn't. He said Samoa Joe has the best chance to become, and I hope he's accurate on this, the first person to hold the world title in the current big three promotions of WWE, TNA, and Ring of Honor. If he wins either the World or the Universal Championship, he says, does he have a shot, a real shot at being the first? He says, right now the only others he can think of that have at least two are Austin Aries, who seems destined to be in 205 Live, Eddie Edwards, but he's not in WWE, and AJ Styles, but that would mean he would have to go back to Ring of Honor, and that, I mean, he was there not that long ago, but if he went back, I doubt it would be to be world champion. He says, seriously, I cannot believe he was never ROH champion, or Jeff Hardy, he says, if he gets a shot at the Ring of Honor title while he's there. He may get they could give him a shot. I don't think he's going to win it. It's not like Ring of Honor would be in a hurry to do it to sabotage WWE, because obviously WWE's not going to promote that Joe could be the first Triple Crown guy. The only other one that jumps out at me, Will, is Seth Rollins, but he would have to go to TNA Impact Wrestling. So I do think Joe has the best chance. If everything he's saying here is accurate, I don't know who else really. I mean, they could surprise us with Aries and have him have a quick run into a 205 Live, but I think Joe clearly has the best shot.
Yeah, I think Joe has the best shot. I mean, if Christian were still active, he could. He could show up in Ring of Honor and win the world title. I mean, that would complete the Hardys and Dudleys trifecta. But I doubt that's going to happen, given that Christian is retired at this point. Yeah, that's really interesting and kind of cool. I think it would be a neat thing for Joe to accomplish, and I hope it does happen sometime before the end of this year, maybe into next year. But time will tell on that, because I also don't know. I'm really curious to see how they build Samoa Joe, especially coming out of WrestleMania. Like, what the long-term plan is for Samoa Joe.
As much as I crap on Vince for not clearly paying attention to NXT, and it's proven. I mean, Hunter's talked about, he's been to NXT TakeOver shows, Mania Weekend, we know that. But he's also said, I think they basically, or other writers have said, they kind of put together some video packages for him. To kind of let him get a glimpse at people. He's just not going to take the 50 minutes or whatever it is out of his week to keep an eye on that weekly television show. I wish he would, but I guess the point I was going to make is that, so yeah, he doesn't get it with Bailey, and there's been several other examples of people he hasn't really figured out what their characters were. I'm happy he didn't see Joe, Will, because he's doing a hell of a job with Samoa Joe right now, better than they did at NXT, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think Joe right now is in better shape than he ever was in NXT, character-wise. And he was good in NXT. Like, he was fine, but Joe came in as weirdly low on the card. He wasn't doing a ton, and he ended up being champion, obviously, and main eventing quite a few NXT TakeOver specials. But he wasn't always used as kind of the destroyer Samoa Joe in the same way, and I'm really happy to see that.
A couple of quick notes to close. Number one, you shared your story about peeing next to Roman Reigns. I will say that my only experience with WWE Hall of Famer Rick Rude, who was announced as a member of the class just today officially, been known for quite a while, Ricky Steamboat will be doing the induction. A very young me, teenage me, at the hotel bar, not old enough to go in, so had to stay in the lobby, made eye contact with Rick Rude, and I was, 15, 16 years old, hoping to get an autograph, and pointed at whatever I had to get my autograph on, and Rick Rude looked at me and held up his beer bottle and pointed at that. So I was denied no Rick Rude autograph, Will. I just figured, you talked about urinating. I should at least share an embarrassing story of my own.
That's a great story. That is I would rather have that happen to me than get Rick Rude's autograph. That's amazing.
The other one that I wanted to mention today, well, actually, it's a question for you to close, Will. It's that time of year. You know, there's no pay-per-views between now and WrestleMania as far as WWE is concerned. Ring of Honor has theirs Friday. Don't forget live coverage of ProWrestling.net. But something that I'll be checking in with you on again, I'm sure. What's your level of enthusiasm on the old 0 to 10 scale for WrestleMania 33?
Oh, today's a bad day to ask. 3-ish, maybe 4. Today is one of those days when I'm looking at the macro picture of WWE and WrestleManias in general and going, why do they always mess this up? So I'm pretty down at this moment on WrestleManias and what WWE tends to do. But I'll give it a solid 3.
A solid 3. I will say, yeah, 3, 3.5. I'm not there yet. I do think there's a really good chance, though, coming out of tonight's show, we might feel very differently. You know, I mean, they're in Chicago. It's a big market. You know, Goldberg, and I would assume Brock, there's a good chance we see Brock and Heyman tonight. You know, they're going to start.
Maybe they'll have a tug of war.
Maybe, yeah. We haven't had a good old-fashioned tug of war since last year, right?
2 years ago, but yes.
2 years, okay. So, yeah, I mean, tonight should be a very interesting show. I mean, it's that time of year now where everything's done. It's just time to start promoting WrestleMania. It should be a newsworthy show, and so I'm looking forward to it. So, yeah, 3 now, and I'll try to remember to let the members know when I do my audio review of Raw tonight where it's at coming out of the show. But I will be checking in with you about that as we move forward. Thank you very much for joining me today, Will. And, again, where can people follow you on the old Twitter machine?
At Will Pruitt, Will spelled with one L there, at Will Pruitt.
And you can follow the brand at Pro Wrestling Net, as I always request. Take a moment, subscribe to this daily podcast, rate and review us on iTunes. I really appreciate it when you do that. And also, a big retweet always helps. Anything you can do to help spread the word about ProWrestling.net is greatly appreciated. We will be back with more WrestleMania Week content, as we do with various live shows. Of course, you can check out the All Access Daily podcast that we do. But as far as live, we'll definitely be back WrestleMania time. And again, going forward, the Mondays coming out of WWE pay-per-view events. So until next time, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Take care.